Zero Pucks Given, in partnership with Blades Belong on Your Feet. Hello and welcome to Zero Pucks Given, the ice hockey podcast for Chelmsford Chieftains fans. We're building up to playoff weekend now and we're going to have a look at the final four. We've also got a special guest in Telford Tigers 2 head coach and former Chieftain Scott McKenzie is going to join us to talk about the Telford Tigers 2 winning the Laidler playoffs and playing in the Laidler Cup final this weekend coming. And we've also got the guest that you've all asked me for the times I've been doing this, Gemma Pemberton, the Chieftains physio, is coming on. But let's start with having a look through the Britain Finals Final Four. First up then, the first semi-final taking place on Sunday at 4:30 is the Streatham Redhawks against the Raiders Junior. Now, the Streatham Redhawks obviously won the league. Last year they won the quadruple, beating Chelmsford Chieftains in the playoff final, of course, to take that trophy. And this year they've had a really good season. They've only took a couple of defeats. One of them was to Chelmsford, obviously, in the league at the Riverside, also in the cup against Chelmsford and in the league at home to Solent as well. It's been Solent and Streatham at the top of the league for most of the season, and Streatham have been pretty consistent throughout, and the player that I think has been the most consistent for them and always poses a danger is their number 24, Ivan Antonov. Such a classy player. Obviously we know he's played up at higher levels as well, and he's always dangerous when the puck moves into that offensive zone. Can score from anywhere and always moves through the lines very nice. Plays a lot of time for the Streatham Redhawks as well. He does get a lot of ice time, which obviously they've got a lot of players and their system works very, very well. For the Romford Juniors then, the Raiders Juniors, the player I've gone for as the danger man is TJ Anderson. He's obviously been playing up a lot this season with the Raiders in the National League. Also a little bit of Great Britain hockey in his roller hockey as well. So he does keep himself active in both forms of hockey. But we've seen some fantastic goals from him this year, and in the playoff quarterfinals just gone, I think he totaled scoring 8 goals across the 2 games. A couple of fantastic finishes in there as well amongst them. So yeah, really fantastic player. I think that's going to be a really good game. For me personally, I can't see past Streatham, but it's one game. Anything can happen in the playoffs. So I think it'll be entertaining. I think Antonov may make the difference, but I back Anderson to have a really good game as well for the Raiders. That second semi-final on the Sunday then is going to be the Solent Devils against the Invicta Dynamos, who of course knocks out the Chieftains at the quarter-final stage. The Devils have had a fantastic season. They brought in some good young players, a couple from the Bristol setup, and the danger man I've gone for came from Bristol, from their team that went up to the National League, and that's Liam Coleman. Scored some really, really good goals. He's always cleaning up any rebounds that come off the goalkeeper. He's always in the right place at the right time. Scored a fantastic goal against Chelmsford, actually, in a 5-4 overtime win down at Planet Ice in Gosport earlier in the year. And I think he is their danger man. They have got a couple, though. Of course, Dan Lackey's had a great season. Alex Murray's always a handful when he's on the ice as well. So I bag this semi-final to actually be the game of the weekend. I think it's going to be a fantastic game. And Invicta Dynamos, then, that conquered Chelmsford Chieftains, their danger man I've gone for is their young player that they re-signed halfway through the season, Owen Dell. Fantastic young player. Scored some fantastic goals against the Chieftains in the last 4 games that we've played against them. gets involved in all the moves. They've obviously, they use their imports well as well. Stanislav Laschek, we know all about. We know how good he is. And Juraj Hushka, who must spend at least 50 minutes on the ice every game. Just an incredible engine and always dangerous from anywhere on the ice. But I do make that Solent Devils against Invicta Dynamos. I think that will be the game of the weekend. And I do give the winner of that tie a really, really good shot at winning the whole thing. I think that a win on that second game on Sunday night could really give the confidence boost to whichever side wins it to go on and have a fantastic game in the final. So, yeah, there's your danger men there. We've put a little video out on the socials as well. And my prediction, I would probably have the Stretton Red Hawks to beat the Raiders. I'll probably say by no more than three, though. I think the Raiders are going to put up a good defensive show. And I think that Solent Devils against Invicta could well go all the way. We saw a 5-5 draw in the Cup semi-final between them two down at Gosport. It could go into overtime, that one. It's going to be a tight one. Nice big pad there, of course, which is different for both those sides. They play on smaller pads at home, so that's going to be interesting having them both on the large pad. Looking forward to see it. I will probably just back Invicta to go through in that game. So, and then, obviously, once we do the episodes over the weekend, we'll see where we go. But for me, I think Invicta could just pip Solent Devils in that second semi-final. Right then, let's get to our first guest in this episode of the podcast. He's the Telford Tigers 2 head coach. They've just won the Laidler playoffs in the northern section, the second division, NIHL 2 North. And they are in the Laidler Cup final this weekend as well against exactly the same opposition, the Hull Jets. So we're going to catch up with their head coach and former chieftain, Scott McKenzie. Lovely. Scott McKenzie, the head coach of the Telford Tigers 2. Thank you for joining me. How are you, sir?
Yeah, good. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Now, congratulations on the win in the Laidler playoffs last weekend. And you've also got the same opposition coming up in the Cup this weekend, I believe.
Yeah, it's been the same kind of opposition we've had all year, really, with the whole Jets. They've been a thorn on our side for the last 2 years, I would say. They're a good team. They've got some really good young players with some good experience, similar to us, really. And it seems whoever's better on the day seems to win the trophies. And it's been a really good battle for the last two seasons, and we expect more of the same over the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, so how's your season gone in total this year?
It's been good. Pretty similar to last year. I think last year we won the league, they won the cup and the playoffs. This year they've won the league, we've won the playoffs, and are hoping to win the cup. It's been up and down. We've struggled a lot with injuries, to be honest with you, serious injuries we've had. One of our imports, Philip Suka, he had a serious knee injury, probably back in November. We've had another one of our more experienced players, Joe Aston, who dropped down from the National League team. He had a shoulder problem, which has ended his season as well. We lost our goalie, Matt Croyle. He left us probably October, November time to go to D-side in Division 1. But we were fortunate enough to bring in Zach Brown and to kind of fill that hole. So
yeah,
we lost another guy 2 weeks ago, Charlie Webb, who's one of our good young players, with a freak problem. So yeah, it's been kind of losing, not just losing players, but losing key players at key times. James Smith was another one, had knee surgery. So yeah, we've lost some really important players to us for long periods of time, and it's been challenging to kind of get through that and still grind out results. And the boys who have played especially have done a fantastic job of that, and just kind of not really looked at it as a negative and just cracked on with whatever we've had. It's meant the lines have been shuffled around a lot, but they've got on with it really well, and I've got to credit the players, to be honest.
Yeah, I say we're going through all that missing amount of players, but then making the playoff finals. Yeah. And it was quite a convincing win on the day. It was 6-1, wasn't it?
Yeah, so the Saturday game, I think people were quite shocked with our score with Sutton, because Sutton obviously finished quite a ways off us in the league, a few points behind us. But every game that we've played against Sutton has been close. And I think Hull as well, maybe they've run away with it in one fixture or two. But They're a team who work incredibly hard, made it difficult for us on the day, and again the boys found a way to make it. And they always say in a one game shootout anything can happen, and fortunately for us, we were able to get on top early, and really punished Hull, put them under pressure, and in a one game shoot off, you know, Hull really, they could have done the same to us on the day. But we were fortunate enough that we put in a really good performance on the day and were able to lift the trophy.
How was the crowd up in Orchard? Because it's quite a trip, isn't it, from everywhere really in the North Division?
Yeah, for our Division 2 team, we're obviously competing with the National League team as well.
Yeah.
So they've got a lot of fans at the National League team, but we do get, at home, we probably get 150, I would say, at any home game. On the road, you tend to, you don't get many fans, I don't think. I actually don't make a lot of the games myself. I am playing for the National League team as well. So
yeah.
I don't make it to a lot of the games, but I make every game that I can when we don't have a fixture. So I have a coaching staff in place who run the game day. So they do a fantastic job. But fans-wise, you know, when you go to teams who have a senior team ahead of them, you tend to find that, you know, it's maybe 100 to 150 rather than 600, 700, 800, which,
yeah,
you know, the National League or NHL 1 teams are getting at home.
I mean, despite that, it's been an incredibly successful few years since we come out of the lockdown. Telford have had some incredibly successful years.
Yeah, as a whole club, we've been pretty I would say consistent is the way, the message. You know, we from National League down to NHL 2, myself and Tom Watkins, who work together quite closely, we try and stay on the same page. We coach in a very similar way. I've been under him as a player for over 12 years, roughly. So that helps with the consistency, with us being on the same page. But as a club, we've been really successful. We've been very fortunate to have some good players that live local to us, which always helps. The Red Hockey era that we had, and brought a lot of good players to the National League team, but also it brought a lot of good young players that have been able to, you know, as they've got wives, girlfriends, myself included in that, who maybe just don't want the commitment of a National League team, and we found them in our NHL 2 team.
You're not really struggling really for competition in your area, are you, either, to get players? I think Solihull is probably your closest, Solihull and Sutton, your closest team, isn't it?
Yeah, Solihull, Coventry, Sutton, and then north of us you've got Deeside, who are probably an hour and 15, hour and 30 away.
But
it's good in one way, but then as players get older, trying to replace or replenish those players is challenging in itself as
into
well.
Into the junior system.
So our junior system is good, but the quality of player is certainly lacking a little bit, I would say, for us to, you know, push those players into NHL 2/NHL 1 or National League. You know, you might get a handful. I think every club's the same, to be honest. You might get a handful, but it is difficult to push every single player into that league because the standards are pretty high. And you know, it's, I think throughout lockdown, every club certainly lost a lot of their youth players because of just not being able to get them in on the ice. So trying to retain or keep junior players is certainly a challenge that we've all faced. And I would say across the country, to be honest.
Now you're into the business end of the National League season as well now with Telford. So how's that season gone? And your I haven't got it written down actually, your playoff opponents.
Yeah, we play Milton Keynes tomorrow.
Milton Keynes, you do, yes.
Sorry, yeah, so this is Friday, it goes out. So we play Milton Keynes tomorrow.
I think that's actually the reason why our Britain playoff final was a Sunday, Monday.
That's right.
Because it's at Milton Keynes. Because you're playing there on the Saturday.
Yeah, it's going to be difficult. They're a good team. Our season hasn't really gone the way we would have liked it to. We held the league title for back-to-back, and we wanted to really, you know, give a good push to that this year, but we've come up against some really good teams, Leeds, Milton Keynes, Peterborough, the top three. But even looking further down the league, you know, like teams like Raiders, have been very good this year. We found it tough against those guys. So every team in this league's good, and we probably struggle to keep hold of some important pieces for the start of the season that we had from last year. And it had an impact on us, and again, had a few injuries, but no excuses from our part. We're probably finished up where we deserve to be in the league, in seventh place. I think that probably sits about right for us in our performance this year. But going into playoffs, we feel like we've gained some momentum. We found a way that we want to play, and we're going to give it a really good go this weekend. We're confident in our ability. We've got a lot of experience with winning and what it takes. So hopefully we can give ourselves a good account this weekend and potentially make Coventry next weekend.
Yeah. Has there been a lot of lads playing up from the Telford 2 into the National League team?
Yeah, we've had a couple of guys step up and play, especially when we were short earlier in the early part of the season. And we find it difficult to bring a lot of those guys in because of the commitments that they have, not necessarily the fact that we don't want them. And I think that's a misconception from our fans, perhaps, that we just don't use players because we think we're too good. Well, that's not the case. It's more a case of guys have other commitments outside of ice hockey, and that's probably why they're playing at National League 2 level.
Yeah.
You know, we play two games every weekend, and it's a lot. You know, it's a lot for us. So, and for those guys, they've got 28 games, and they want to play 28 games a season. That's why they're doing it. So we've managed to get a lot of the younger players into our lineup this year, and try and keep that continuity of guys coming through the system and playing. So the young guy, Charlie Weber, said was injured a few weeks ago. He's played at every opportunity that he could because he's one that wants to develop and wants to move into the National League eventually. So, but we have picked a few other guys, like I say, who have helped us out when we've been struggling. So, everyone's, when they've came, they've been given an opportunity to play and they've done really well. So, we have a lot of capable players in our National League 2 team for sure.
Yeah, you can't keep these 16-year-olds off the ice that want to play. We've got lads at Chelmsford that play three games a day. They'll do 16s and 18s in the afternoon. Yeah. They come and play for the Chieftains in the evening.
That's it. And that's what I used to be like when I was a kid. Now I struggle to play 60 minutes without
Where was your hockey started then? I take it from you're a Scottish man from your accent. So
yeah, I was born in Scotland. I started off in Edinburgh and then went to Glasgow, but finished my junior career in Fife and then actually moved to Chelmsford. Played in Chelmsford for a few years. Lived down in Chelmsford for 6.5 years in total. Loved my time in Chelmsford, to be honest. I had a really good time there.
That'll go down well on this podcast.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah, I played with guys like Andrew Power, Kyle Amiot. I didn't play with Beckett, but I played against Beckett a lot. So I know all those guys. Dean Burrow was my coach when I first came down. He was a guy who brought me down with that Fife connection. So yeah, I've got nothing but fond memories with Chelmsford. I had a really good time there.
Fantastic. And obviously still playing now in the National League, but taking that coaching position with the Tigers as well, Tigers 2.
Yeah, so I mean, the coaching side of it, I've always been interested in coaching even from a kid. So when I was 15, 16, I would go to Fife and help out with the junior kids, and just try and, you know, give something back, even if I was just, you know, on the ice having a laugh with them. But I started to take it more seriously when I was in my mid to late 20s. I got a coaching role up in Widnes as a player coach, but was then coaching all the junior kids as well. So I've spent a lot of time kind of studying and learning what's important and trying to work with people rather than just teaching them X's and O's. I think a lot of it's about arm around the shoulder and try and get the best out of people rather than just teaching them how to play hockey. So, with being in Telford, it kind of works really well where I've got my coaching team. So I actually go on the ice with the National League team on a Thursday, practice with them, then I get off, have a 15-minute ice cut, and I'll go back on the ice with the D2 team and coach them for an hour. And then we make our team selection on a Friday. That goes out to the team, and then I have bench staff who I liaise with about what I want on a game day, and then they have full control whilst they're on the bench to make changes and alterations as the game goes on.
Right, so, well, a massive weekend ahead for you then, mate. So I'll let you get back to the rest of your Good Friday and wish you all the best for the weekend with the national team and with the Tigers too as well.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having us on and good luck with the podcast. It seems like you're doing a good job.
Cracking. Cheers, Scott. Thank you.
Thanks.
A massive thank you to Scott for joining me on the podcast there. Fantastic. Congratulations, of course, to the Telford Tigers too for taking that playoff championship, and good luck to them in the Laidler Cup final this weekend. Now our next guest then. When I started this podcast, everyone said to me, you've got to get Gemma on. You've got to get Gemma on. Well, I've saved it up till the end. Here she is, Gemma Pemberton, the Chieftains physio.
Cigarettes are killing me. The whiskey's doing the same. Try to look like every... good to go. Gemma Pemberton, Chancellor Chieftains physio. How are you doing this evening?
Good, very good, thank you. How are you?
I'm really, really well. A lot better than you. I think you've injured yourself again, haven't you?
Don't jinx it. Touch wood. Hopefully not.
We're going to wait for the professional outcome.
Wait for the scans, yeah.
So, you've not long been back from an injury where you were being rehabbed by Liam Chong.
Yeah. Actually, a year ago today, I fractured my ankle for the first time. As you guys all probably saw me in a boot end of last season.
Yeah.
Running on the
shuffling
ice.
Shuffling across the ice.
Wasn't great. And then I actually refractured it back in September. Can't remember if I started the season in a boot. I think I did, I'm not sure. So I got back from that and then, yeah, hopefully I'm all right, but find out next week.
We'll have to wait and see. So, I mean, kind of like, it's like a doctor getting sick, isn't it? Physios getting injured.
I was always injured as a kid. As a young athlete and stuff, so I think that's why I became a physio, because I just had every injury going, so I just knew, I kind of knew what to do.
Yeah, I was going to ask actually, so what got you into it, because it normally is either there's some sort of medical experience already in the family, or as a young athlete you have lots of injuries and then you want to figure out how to stop having them.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I was always injured and playing various sports and stuff. And then I remember going to see physios and I kind of thought, I could probably do this as a career because I know the whole process. I know how it all works. And I kind of wanted to be that person for a young athlete that couldn't either afford a really expensive physio or doctors. And so that's kind of how I got into it, really.
Are you cheaper than Chongy then?
Maybe. He's a lot better than I am, so he can charge me.
Do you do personal training as well, or is it just physio and rehabilitation? Because I believe you've got quite a few qualifications.
Yeah, so I'm a strength and conditioning coach as well. Even though the boys don't do anything I tell them to do. Trying to do warm-ups this year was just a disaster. And trying to write them gym programs, I think about one or two of the guys will actually follow it. It wasn't always me. Like, they're such good players, but they're so unfit. It's unbelievable. I do S&C on the side, but I work with a few teams. So, I look a bit of S&C, which is quite good fun.
Because is there a lot of your involvement in rugby?
Yeah, a little bit. That's mainly like physio stuff. I work with Saracens at their academy. Mm-hmm. I used to work for Chelmsford Rugby and Southend. That was like a placement when I was a student. But then me actually playing kind of took over and clashed. So I think I was like, when I spent all my time with Chieftains, I'd rather play rugby and then do ice hockey. But I kind of cover festivals and academy selection days and stuff. So
yeah,
that's my involvement with rugby.
How did it come around, your involvement with the Chieftains?
So it's a funny story, actually.
We love them here. We love them.
Yeah, so I was a student second year, and I used to work in Secret Garden Cafe with Tom Wilson. He was a chef and I was just a waitress. And obviously he knew that I was studying to be a sport therapist. And I think Will Polson had put in the group chat and said, does anyone know someone who can look at my back? And Tom recommended me. So Will Polson rang me up and was like, can I come and see you for an appointment? We just got chatting. He was like, well, we need a physio for Chieftains. Do you want to do it? I was like, yeah, go on then. And this was the season that Clemmer was coach.
Yeah.
I didn't even know there was a team in Chelmsford. I knew nothing about it. I remember, it's quite embarrassing actually, I went to watch a game, like the game before I started. And so obviously sport, I've been involved in rugby and whatever. So it's just two halves. So I got up to him after the second period, I had a really good game, thinking the game was done. not there was a third period. And he was like, yeah, there's another period to go. And I was like, oh shit. Really, yeah, embarrassing. And then got involved with them and not looked back since, really.
No, yes. How long is that now then? Has that been, what, six, 7 years?
This is my fifth season.
Trying to do maths in my head. Obviously, the COVID year just...
So we had a Clemart, and then is it 2 or 3 years ago? 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And then Mark.
I'll try to look it up here.
On my fifth season, so yeah.
And I take it you'll be back with us with Lewis next season?
Yes, I will be. Yeah, so the plan was to have a time, like, not be there as often this year because my rugby playing was meant to be a little bit more priority, but as I wasn't playing, I was like, yeah, I've got to cover it. So hopefully if I can play next season, I won't be there as often, but we'll just see what schedule. The schedule clashes, sometimes they work out all right, but it just depends when the games are, really.
Yeah. It's the women's game in England. It's growing quite a rate, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, they're doing really well. The Red Roses in England, they're unbelievably good. They win everything. And it's just skyrocketing, like, how popular the women's rugby game's going. Like, we were playing a game, England women are playing a game at Twickenham end of April, and it's the first time a women's standalone game has been at Twickenham, and they've sold nearly 50,000 tickets, which is world record. Obviously going to that would be good fun, but it's definitely on the up. It's going really well.
Yeah, I think women's sport in general has been flying in the last few years, obviously with the football, the Lionesses, the women's ice hockey in this country is flying, the youth setups and into the adults as well. Have you ever played hockey?
No. So I get asked this question quite a lot. And I know a few of the women players because I've physioed them and I work alongside one of them. It's like, Jem, come on and play. And I was like, no. I always say that I can run on the ice in my trainers better than I can skate.
Yeah.
So I think I'll leave it at that. The boys always say to me, why don't you wear skates when you go on? I think, well, I can't stop. So if someone's injured in the middle of the ice, you know, so if they've broken their leg, it's going to really not be good. Stick to my little spikes on my trainers.
That was my problem. When we come on the ice after the game in December and I had skates on, and Dan Hitchens said to me, when are you going to lace them up and have a go? I was like, well, one, I'm pushing 40 and I've got no ligaments in my right knee. If I try and stop, my legs are just going to dislocate and I'm going to end up in a pile on the floor.
Yeah, no, but I do get asked it quite a lot, but no, if I get broken enough,
I didn't quite agree with the way they put it, actually. I think it's one of the BBC channels that had done some of the local news on, might well have been on the Chieftains when they came down to training Thursday night, and they called it rugby on ice. I wasn't too keen on that analogy, actually.
I think maybe just the physical side of it. Maybe that's like the intense and just the big hits.
Yeah.
Maybe that's where the reference is. But no, I don't. Yeah, I agree with you on that one. It's not.
Which, of course, the women don't have. You can't check in women's ice hockey. But no. Women's rugby, you go all in, don't you?
Yeah. We just beat the crap out of each other. It's great. It's until you're in a boot like me.
Yeah, I'm sure it's such a good thing that you do what you do for a living. I think it'll probably prolong your career.
It's a blessing and a curse, because then I'm like paranoid and I know what it is straight away. But I remember also, like, season I played last season, and everyone would get injured, everyone else would go in the group, and I'd be running on to go in, even though I'm playing, I'm then running on the pitch to make sure everyone's all right, and I'm not actually getting a bottle of water or anything, I'm helping the injury, and then we go straight back into it. It's great, but then it's also, I'd like to have that separation, but it's just you constantly.
I bet you're the first phone call that anyone makes if they've got any sort of ache or pain as well, aren't you?
Oh, constant, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I see the boys Tuesday, Thursday, but I probably talk to most of them every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Agony on as well, I'm sure.
Yeah, and they just bitch and moan to me. It's great. I'm like, I love all the gossip and all the drama. Yeah, it's all good.
I've got a few questions for some of the Chieftains fans and some of the listeners here. And as we spoke earlier, you got away with it a bit with the lads.
Raymond texted me and he was like, you're in trouble. I was like, oh no. I'm just dreading it.
I have got one from Rainer. It doesn't make a great deal of sense to me. I'm waiting for your reaction when I say it. So it's it's got a few from some of the fans. Arista has asked, which player complains the most about you hurting them when you're treating them?
Callum.
Is he the biggest wimp, is he?
As you know, they're all big wimps anyway. So I do something called a glute release. And if anyone knows what it is, it's horrible. I basically stick my elbow in their bum cheeks and it helps release off the muscles and helps a lot back. And just because they're in a skating position, they just build up a lot of tension and tightness in their glutes. And I did it to Callum once, and honestly, he nearly flew into the wall. So that's, I think most of the guys who I do that on, they do, it's never nice.
No, it can, I've had it done to me. A man make a noise that you had no idea a man could make.
Oh, honestly, yeah. I think Callum nearly flew through the wall. I think a few of them, anything. Because I only have 5-10 minutes to treat them. I don't have the luxury of an hour in a private clinic, so I have to just go in hard and just beat them up basically, to get the result. And they always say I'm really mean. I get called a bitch quite a lot and. It's great fun because I can take my anger out.
Of course, yeah, I'm sure it works both ways.
But no, I'm joking. It's it's never a nice massage. It's always a bit elbows in.
Yeah, I think that is bad. I think the worst one I had was my knee sort of brought back up onto my chest and rotated round, and then the thumb up in the back of my ear. I don't know what it's called, but. The sports masseuse that I went to when I was boxing, she used to do Nigel Benn and Chris Eubank, and she said I was in the top 5 of people that could take pain. I didn't believe her in the slightest.
Not gonna lie, I always find that women can take it better than men. Just saying. But I
probably agree.
I'm quite mean with the boys. I'm quite brutal, so
I'm sure that's
the results.
Yeah, it's an occupational up, isn't it, I think. Rather than a down. Right then, Scott Minard has asked, what's the worst thing you've seen as a physio?
Ooh, what, in ice hockey or generally?
Danny Seagarth has also kind of asked the same of what's the worst injury you've seen. So I'd probably say, I'd go maybe ice hockey and then everything else.
This season, Leone ruptured his bicep. That was pretty gnarly. I don't know. I feel like I'm just to other people it might sound horrific, but I'm quite immune to it now. To fair,
nothing
actually,
nothing compound.
We have quite a lot. So actually, for the last week, I've been away with working with Saracens on a residential camp. Under 15 kids. We had a kid yesterday dislocate and fracture his leg. Basically his knee, his shin just pulled back. We had to relocate his knee, but he's basically snapped 2 bones in his leg. That was pretty nasty. Get the gas and air out, get all of that stuff. I get quite a mixture. A lot of the boys, they get cuts on their face and I glue them up, and you see me running off with them and they come back 5 minutes later.
Yeah, I think Sasha got glued up on Saturday night, didn't he, I think?
Sasha's chin. TJ usually gets it. TJ's black eye. I put 5 stitches in his chin. I think I did his other eyebrow.
I think it might be time for TJ to go for a cage.
He will never do it. Who else? Ethan was pretty bad. He fractured last year. He got pucked to his cheek and he fractured his cheekbone.
Yeah, Ethan was on a couple of weeks ago telling us about that.
Yeah, that was, and then it was really spooky actually. Year to the day, he did it in Victor and he got a puck to the face and had to glue that, but it was about a centimetre up from when he did it last time and it was a year to the day. So that was quite spooky.
Wow.
And obviously Grant's leg was pretty bad.
That was in Victor last year, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't an open fracture or anything, but that was difficult.
Mm.
Also because I tell him off, but he didn't wear his boot. And then 6 weeks later, the fracture was actually really worse than it was.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think who else, really. I mean, a lot of the guys just get a lot of bumps and bruises. And they're kind of like niggles that just last a long time rather than anything majorly dramatic.
Yeah, it's that sort of sport though, isn't it? It's going to get
bruises. Yeah, I mean, you get those sort of freak accidents. But
I'll go away slightly, actually, just because of what we're talking about. Is there any sort of concussion protocols that you have to follow?
Yeah, absolutely.
Are they set by the EIHA?
I don't know. I usually follow the rugby one, but there's it's just a concussion protocol created by doctors for it's a generic one, even in sport and out of sport. There's a protocol called SCAT-5. I can't remember what the actual acronym for, but you basically follow a protocol and it asks questions and it's a symptom evaluation. You do cognitive testing, memory loss, and it basically helps you determine how severe a concussion is. So you do that initially, just to determine how severe it is. And it depends on your age. So if you're under 18, I'm going to get it wrong, 23 days of doing nothing, not even running for the bus, not running up the stairs, nothing. And then it's a specific return to play protocol. But for an over 18, it's 2 weeks. 2 weeks of doing nothing, and then a graduated return to play.
Yeah.
It just depends on, I usually go off by a symptom evaluation. So I'll do that same test probably about 3 or 4 times, and that's 2 weeks based, just to manage symptoms, because often the symptoms will actually get worse before they get better. They kind of rate them, they've got a list of symptoms, and they rate them between 0 and 6. Obviously 6 being really severe, and I can just manage how they're recovering. Then we had Darren Brown last year. He had a really serious concussion. Didn't actually think it was a concussion at the time, and he was very ill from it. Usually it's about recovery, but he took about 6 weeks.
Anyone who's not had it, it's not a nice one.
It's not nice, and some people, even just getting a slight knock to, you don't even have to get a direct hit to the head.
No.
Or any kind of whiplash can trigger a concussion. And the boys would take the mick out of me. I think we had quite a lot of concussion. Last touch word, I think we've only had one this year. There were quite a lot last year. And because I was constantly getting a concussion test out, they're like, oh, Gem, I've hurt my ankle. Do you need me to do a concussion test? And they were taking a piss a little bit. But that's the one thing I'm really strict on is concussions.
Yeah, and as you should be. I mean, it's seeing at the moment in rugby and in football where they're having the temporary change or a permanent change, because it's really not worth it. I mean, obviously my sporting background is in boxing, and fortunately they're not touching that at the moment. It's I dread the day when they come and say, that's it, no one's allowed to spar. It's
But that's it. I know they are, because I used to work in boxing as well. So knowing, like, if someone has got a concussion, it is managed better. But I think there's still a long way to go with it. But no, there's like history of you get secondary concussion syndrome and game over. It's very high risk of brain injury or even death. So that's why I do take it very seriously. And the boys are good, but they like to take the piss about it as well.
I'm sure that it's just a group of lads. It must be half fun and half a nightmare for you.
Honestly, yeah. I mean, they make me want to quit every week, but I said that the last 3 years and I'm still here. So.
Yeah. Alan Scatland has asked, what's your favourite thing to patch up?
Oh, it has to be some glue.
Stitching's
a little bit difficult because when I get adrenaline, so my hands shake.
Yeah.
I stick a needle in someone's face. It's never great when I've got really shaky hands. So I love a bit of glue. I don't know, any kind of, I quite like taping, it's quite anything, probably gluing someone's face.
They're quite satisfying. You can sort of see the little cut, you glue it up, you're getting back on. That's good job well done.
They always again, the boys take the piss at me, as they do all the time. But if someone's cut, I like to take a photo of it first, and then so I can show like a before and after. Just glue it. And when I get back on, like, no, let me take a picture of it first. So my camera roll is just full of cuts and bruises and x-ray, broken bones and all of that. So, yeah.
Excellent stuff. I could do these in a slightly different order, actually, and keep all the players' ones together. Ollie Bennett has asked, what's the funniest moment that you've had with the Chieftains?
God. I don't know, really. I mean, the changing rooms are a good laugh. Like, this season's been a really good crack. Like, everyone's gotten really well. We've had a lot of court sessions and like kangaroo court and stuff. And I can't think of anything kind of specific, but you always just end up belly laughing. And like, yeah, it's, yeah, I think just being around the boys and just the changing room banter is top-notch, really.
Have you ever stacked it on the ice?
Once, and that was Bear's fault. I think it was a couple of years ago, we were in Slough and we'd lost, and Sonny had smashed his stick over the goal and left it there. So as the, and I didn't have my spikes on my shoes at the time, I've only had them for like 2 years.
Yeah.
And I'd gone on the ice to go and pick up the stick after the game, and Bear had pulled the water out from the water bottles on the ice.
Yeah.
I walked back, I fell flat on my ass. But luckily, everyone was kind of leaving, so not everyone.
Not many people saw it.
Yeah, I think that's the only time I've stacked it. I'm usually quite good. I'm trying to have to slow down. It's quite hard, but
yeah, you normally, there's someone normally gives you like an arm as well, don't they?
I can actually run faster than they can skate. Like, just like proper going for it.
Paul Whitby has said he understands that you got a new massage gun from Santa, and have you had much of a reason or an opportunity to use it yet?
I knew this was going to come up. Okay, right, how do I explain this? So my Secret Santa present was a massage gun with an adult toy attached to it.
This is probably going to allude to Raina's question about the pink massage gun.
Yes, so yeah. I knew this was going to come up. Obviously, there's young listeners on, so I'm not going to go into...
We can let older people's imaginations run wild.
Yeah, so there was an adult toy attached to the said massage gun, which was bright pink. I think glow-in-the-dark pink.
Why would it need to glow in the dark?
I don't know. And I can tell you who gave it to me, and it was TJ. So you can blame TJ.
There's no surprises there.
Yeah, it was... I thought that was probably the funniest moment, actually. I opened it up and it was just hilarious. But that said, adult toy is in the changing room. It's not mine at home. The gun is actually, the boys actually use the gun themselves, not with the toy on the end, but that gets thrown around the changing room.
Is it an official attachment for it then?
No, TJ made it. He made it himself.
He got creative with it.
Yeah. So obviously you get little windings on the massage gun anyway, but he'd cut the other toy to make it fit on there.
The next time TJ comes on, we're going to find out whether he did it all on Amazon or he went to Sports Direct and then he went to Ann Summers or what way around he did it.
No, you know what? It was his mum and dad that helped him cut the hole in it. And he was saying that his mum was like, "Are you sure you should be giving this to Gemma?" Yeah. He'll say it wasn't his idea, but it was.
Excellent stuff. Right, that's all the questions that we've got for you. Like I said, you've kind of got away with it then. I was expecting some really bad stuff to come in.
So did I. I'm quite lucky.
But I think maybe now the season's finished, a little bit of slowing down, some of the lads may have missed it and not seen that it was there.
Because if they're mean to me, then I'm mean to them back. So
well, this is what I said to Kieran when he messaged me that. I was like, you know she can hurt you, right?
Yeah, so I was like, if you're mean to me, I'll just beat you up. So
excellent. Well, Gemma Pemberton, thank you so much for joining me. Literally, when I first started this, you were one of the first people that everyone said to me I had to get you on.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
No, I've waited this long because I wanted it to build up.
Oh, nice.
and now we've got through all the lads on the roster, and so hopefully we'll... as the year goes on next year, any new players and any new people on the staff can come on. And I just hope that the guys in the team enjoy coming on as much as we enjoy having them on.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we've all loved it. So.
Lovely. Gemma, thank you very much. Right. Enjoy the rest of your summer if you're not in a boot or hobbling around anywhere.
No, touch wood, I'm not. I'll be all right.
And we'll see you back on ice in September.
Yeah. Cheers, mate. Thank you.
Cheers, mate.
A a huge thank you to Gemma for joining me on Zero Pucks Given. I'm sure that will not be the last time. I reckon we probably get a good update every couple of months, actually, on how everyone's doing in the treatment room and on the treatment table. So thanks again to Gemma. Real good fun. Right, well, that's it for episode 27 then. Episodes that follow this will be coming from Milton Keynes. I'll be heading up there on Sunday afternoon, getting a few pre-games with the coaches, some of the players possibly, and then after the games, getting some reaction as well from the players and the coaches, all on video. So the two interviews from today will be on YouTube on Sunday. And then at the playoffs, as I upload every episode, the videos will go online as well. So you'll be able to keep up to date with everything that's going on. I'll also be tweeting live results from the playoffs as well. So keep your eyes on the Zero Puck socials. And thank you very much for joining. We'll see you next time. This podcast is hosted by Anchor on Spotify. It is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts and other podcast outlets. Subscribe on Spotify and Apple Podcasts to get notifications about new episodes. Follow us on social media, Instagram at Zero Pucks Given Podcast, Twitter at Zero Pucks Pod, YouTube at Zero Pucks Given, email zeropucksgivenpodcast@gmail.com. The music in this podcast is taken from Spotify and I do not own the tracks. Thanks for listening and we'll see you next time.